mining tax down under gets snipped.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective. What's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. Plans for a massive tax on mining profits in Australia have been scaled back. The proposal was so controversial, it actually helped give the prime minister there the boot. And the compromise today is moving markets in Europe right now. That's where we find Marketplace's Stephen Beard. He's live with us from London. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Tell us about this massive tax.
This was an additional 40% tax on mining company profits proposed by the former Prime Minister Kevin Rudd. Now, mining is one of Australia's biggest, most buoyant industries. The country is often described as the quarry of the world, and especially of China. It's so profitable in Australia that it helped the country sail through the global crisis without slipping into recession. So this 40% levy looked at the time like a perfect tax.
And if it was so perfect, Stephen, what happened?
Well, the mining companies didn't like it. They reacted with fury. They threatened to pull out of Australia some of their operations. They mounted a really vigorous TV ad campaign. And the Prime Minister came off worse. His popularity slumped and he was ousted last week. Justin Urquhart-Stewart of London fund managers Seven Investments says the Prime Minister seriously miscalculated.
The Australians look upon the mining companies, I suppose, their big global success. This is their big corporations. And so they are really rather proud of them.
And they're nervous about damaging one of their main sources of income and employment. The mining companies have said that the old tax proposal would have turned Australia into the most expensive country in the world for them to operate in. Under the new, much reduced plan, some but not all of the companies will be paying a bit more than they were before.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting live for us from London this morning. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
All right. Mining stocks are actually bolstering, as I mentioned, European markets today. Stocks there are higher at the moment, anywhere from 0.25% to 0.5% in the continent. Asian shares were mixed today. Wall Street yesterday, the stock slide continues, though. The S&P and NASDAQ shed about 0.33%. The Dow Industrials lost 41 points to close at 97.32. And we're going to see if a big employment report out today in just a few hours helps or hurts that cause. President Obama is expected to announce today nearly $800 million to expand broadband web access to rural and poor areas across this country. Tech advocates, though, want the president to go further, asking him to make such internet access a legal right. That very thing happened in one Scandinavian country this week. The BBC's Rebecca Singer reports from Marketplace.
Finland is already one of the most internet-connected nations in the world. More than 90% of its 5 million people have access to high-speed broadband. But some of the country's rural areas are excluded from this coverage or have a very poor quality service. And that's the point of the new legal right. Every Finn must be provided with a reasonably fast broadband connection wherever they live. Suvi Linden is Finland's Minister of Communications.
We see that proper communication links are no longer luxury products, but necessary tools in day-to-day life. And that means that in Finland we have been developing e-services for citizens that they can use in their daily life.
It's also more cost-effective for the government to provide public services online, like paying taxes or applying for benefits. But that only works if everyone has reliable web access. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act.
The World Cup quarterfinals start in just a few hours in South Africa. Brazil plays the Netherlands. And soccer fans here in the United States continue to find places to tune in. To capitalize, pubs and eateries are kicking up their marketing. Reporter Richard Dornhelm has more.
La Lola Tapas bar chef Gonzalo del Castillo says he's not usually over the stove midday, but he and his partners decided to open for lunchtime World Cup games, like this one, where Spain is playing Portugal. In the dining room of a small restaurant, about 15 or 20 soccer fans clutch sangria and beer, including Olivia Martin and Javier Hermida, who wear red and yellow Spanish soccer jerseys.
We saw a Spanish flag outside, and we knew Spain was playing today, so that's how we got here.
Chef owner Gonzalo del Castillo says he doesn't expect he'll end up covering the overhead from his extended hours for the World Cup, but he thinks customer loyalty is being built up during these games.
You know, it was a good marketing tool, and, you know, we're on the map for some people that didn't know us before.
Del Castillo's efforts have paid off with soccer fan Mike Salerno.
He's been in here. He's been mingling around the crowd, making sure everyone's having a good time.
The situation is similar about 5 blocks away at the Irish pub Kells. They've been opening at 7 a.m. for the first game of the day. During this lunchtime game, there are few open seats.
Anything else to drink?
At one table, Swiss fan Luke Meyer says bars showing the whole World Cup mean a lot to enthusiasts.
Big point of watching soccer during the World Cup is really the sort of social experience, and then you tend to just go to bars where it's lively and share it with other people.
When I track down Kell's owner, he says the boost in food and drink sales may not be enough to cover the extra labor and some new flat-screen TVs he got for the World Cup. Still, he says the marquee games are yet to come, and if everything goes the way it did 4 years ago, it may be a very good month for the bar. In San Francisco, I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
And finally, the business news of the week in a Marketplace Minute. Here's Bill Radke.
We were going to pay for financial reform with a tax on the banks who created the storm. Instead, the money will come from, I swear, the bailout fund. Because that seems fair. The recovery is tiring. Nobody's hiring. There's something new wrong with Toyota's wiring. Let's see. World Cup. The Americans lose. I'm trying to find some positive news. Oh, the oil spill's fixed. Nah, I'm just teasing. It's spewing like hell and it's hurricane season. Supreme Court squashes the handgun ban. I guess that's good for a firearm fan. You know what? These headlines are leaving me flat. It's a 3-day weekend. Let's focus on that. Have fun with your sparklers and Francis Scott Key, and I'll see you at marketplace.org.
This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chitnikas.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.